This morning's address, I'm just teasing out ideas of different types of courage. We continued the tradition of remembering the young men from this congregation who died in the First World War. We recall lives that ended before they had the opportunity to really live. The service is always an act of remembrance, a reminder of the cost of war. And I think it's interesting now that I think the memories of those young men are fading. We know so little of them now. We know William Wilkes Fitzgerald was an only child. The Faulkner brothers lost their lives within 5 days of one another, and their deaths probably contributed to the premature death of their mother in 1922. She was just 52. The stories of the other young men have faded. Their only legacy that we know of is the plaque in our porch. In 1914, these young men were told that they were fighting the war that would end all wars. They believed the thing would be over by Christmas. It would be an adventure, an opportunity, perhaps to test their courage. Freddie Faulkner was decorated for bravery. He was awarded the Military Cross. In 1917, his troops were being targeted by a German machine gun, and Freddie took a few men to take the machine gun out. The few men he took with him were either killed or wounded on the way, and he just kept going on his own. He killed two Germans, and he took about 30 prisoners of war single-handed. I wonder, was that exceptional courage, or bloody-minded stubbornness? Or maybe it was just that he'd had enough of war and it was a way out. The defining narrative of the Second World War was the systematic killing of Jews. At the end of the war, many Germans claimed to be ignorant of what had been perpetrated in their name. And they were, because the newspapers and radio and everything was under control of the regime. But some Germans knew, and some dared to speak out. Their acts of defiance weren't spur-of-the-moment decisions. They knew that they would endanger not just themselves, but their family members. They, with their family, many of them paid an extraordinary price for their speaking out. The dreadful crimes of the Second War that culminated in the killing of so many people began with a gradual process of repressing democracy. In 1933, Hitler built concentration camps. He bypassed the courts. The first prisoners in the camps were political opponents. Then he took, without political opponents, he was able to pass any laws he felt he wanted to. All opposition in Parliament was taken away. In incremental stage then, he went after the communists, the trade unionists, gypsies, men who were gay, and of course, people who were of the Jewish tradition. He took control of newspapers and radio stations. He took power in 1933. But the really big heave against the Jews took place in 1938. So there was 5 years where gradually the pillars of democracy were whittled away. In the years leading up to 1939, the Nazis silenced the opposition until finally there were very, very few willing to speak out. The killing began by targeting the most vulnerable members of society, the mentally retarded and the mentally ill. And of course, their deaths barely raised a ripple, but they were a stepping stone to greater horrors. There were some exceptionally brave souls who spoke out against the regime. One of those was, and not just individuals, but what struck me about these two examples I have is how the whole family suffered. One such family were the Skoll family. It was June 1942. A group of university students in Munich founded the White Rose Movement. This was a non-violent resistance group that called for active opposition to the Nazi regime. So they used graffiti and they produced anonymous leaflets. And these leaflets, there were six leaflets produced in all, but they were copied and sent to different cities. And they put them in phone books and books in libraries. They left them at bus stations. In all, they reckon there was only about 15,000 leaflets produced. But the courage to do that was amazing. In their second leaflet, and this is June 42, in the second leaflet they produced, they denounced the persecution and mass murder of Jews. So some people did know what was happening. Hans and Sophie Skoll were members of the White Rose group. Their parents were Robert and Magdalena. Robert and Magdalena had six children. One died in infancy. Of the other five, there was Sophie and Hans. They were involved in the White Rose movement. And on the 18th of February, 1943, they took a bunch of leaflets to the university and they left them in the corridors outside for the students to come across them. Then Sophie went up to the atrium and dropped a bundle of leaflets that floated down to the ground. The caretaker saw her and informed the Gestapo. The university was locked down. Sophie and her brother Hans were arrested. Within 3 days, they were dead. They had been interrogated and found guilty. Neither of them betrayed the other people in the plot, in the White Rose movement. Their parents were told of their trial and they weren't allowed in, but the father shouted words of support when he heard that they were both found guilty and would be executed. Within 3 days of dropping the leaflets, both of them died by guillotine. Their parents and two sisters were arrested and interrogated. The father, Robert, was sentenced to 2 years in jail for shouting his words of comfort to his condemned children. And he was only liberated at the ending of the war. Their other son, Werner, was a medical officer serving on the Eastern Front. And he was reported missing, believed killed in action, in May 1944. So that's three children of their five who died in that war. Hans was 24 when he died. Sophie was 21 and Werner was 22. Three young, beautiful lives snuffed out. Another remarkable story of family resistance was that of the Bonhoeffer family. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is probably the best known member of that family. He was a Lutheran pastor and one of these really intelligent people who got their PhD when they were about 16, you know. And it was his Christian faith that impelled him to oppose the Nazis. In 1940, he was offered a place to study in America, and he went there. But within 3 weeks, his conscience made him return to Germany to oppose the regime. He could have spent the war at a nice Ivy League university in America, but he chose differently. Over time, Dietrich became convinced that to save Germany, Hitler had to die. And we know that on the 20th of July 1944, an attempt was made on Hitler's life, not by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but he was associated with the people who did plant that bomb. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in jail at the time of the attempted assassination. That made no difference. He was still held under suspicion and questioned and remained in jail. The awful thing was that in April 1945, as the war was drawing, it was within weeks of ending, 280 individuals suspected of being colluded in that assassination attempt were all put to death. There were seven children in the Bonhoeffer family. The eldest, Walter, died in the First World War. Dietrich and his brother Klaus were both hanged in April 1945. And the husbands of two of their sisters were also hanged in April 1945. That war took a great toll on the Bonhoeffer family. Within weeks of the last hanging, Hitler was dead. Frederick Faulkner and thousands of other young soldiers showed courage under fire. Maybe for them it was a matter of kill or be killed. Maybe it was a spur of the moment thing. Maybe it was anger. But individuals like the Scholes and Bonhoeffers, their family showed courage of a totally different kind. They knew what faced them if they were caught. Not just that they would be imprisoned and probably lose their lives, but also that they could be tortured. They knew that their deaths wouldn't be easy. There'd be no medal awarded for their courage. There would be financial and social consequences for the grieving families. They knew this, and yet they did what they believed to be the right thing. So we salute their courage. We remind ourselves to value our democracy, because democracy is not perfect, but it's the greatest safeguard we have. We must guard our democratic values. Stand for equality and the dignity of every person, who is especially the vulnerable. And on Remembrance Sunday, we must remember to honour the sacrifices made by people in earlier generations.